So I hope that you have been doing well in the new open schedule. So some of the things that you might notice include that because we had one day of a structured schedule, maybe already the mind is like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. And so now there's no structure and I don't know what to do, or it's not good. Or maybe you're thinking, ah, finally they're not trying to boss me around anymore, tell me when to sit and when to walk and when to eat and when to sleep. So those of you who think that might have some relief from it. So another thing that happens is that here in the meditation hall, there no longer is a set time when the sitting will begin and the sitting will end. So if you come to practice in the hall, then you might find you're sitting and then suddenly the door opens. Someone comes in, they rustle around, settling into their nest, and then, okay, peace for a little bit, and then, up, door opens again. Another person comes in, rustle around, take off their jacket, okay, settle in, and so on. And this kind of practice, this is all considered actually just opportunity for learning. So in these time in the afternoon, I want to share with you a little bit about aspect of Dhamma that can help us to understand this patterning of what happens in case like that. And this is a teaching that the Buddha gave about, in Pali, the ancient language of the Buddhist teachings is called Vedana, or in English translation is often called feeling tone. So that each moment that we experience has a feeling tone. So it could be that it's pleasant, it could be that it's unpleasant, and it could be that it's neutral. So neither strongly pleasant nor unpleasant. And most times we don't actually notice directly this feeling tone, you know, this aspect of experience. But it's there in every single moment of seeing, of smelling, of tasting, of touching, of hearing, and even of the mind. That every single moment of experience has this quality to it. It could be labeled as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And when we don't notice this, then we have a reaction to it. Like it's actually kind of a predictable reaction. So if there's something unpleasant, our habitual response is to want it to go away. So to dislike the unpleasant, to hate it, to have resistance to it. And then if there is a pleasant experience, our habitual response is usually to move towards it, so to lean for it or to grab at it. So also being off balance by even pleasant experience. And then oftentimes with neutral experience, we're not actually used to paying attention. So this is often a time when we might space out or concoct something in the mind. Sometimes we concoct something pleasant, like pleasant fantasy, if it seems like otherwise things are boring. But you might notice that sometimes when things are just quiet, the mind is even happy to concoct an unpleasant fantasy, like make up problems that might happen, even though they're not happening, and then get occupied with solving non-existent problems or possible future problems. So this is something that helps us kind of crack the code of the way in which we usually respond in life and the ways in which we're actually kind of tossed around by experience. So when we're not mindful, we get thrown at the mercy of whatever comes up in our life. It's pleasant, I want more of it. It's unpleasant, we dislike it, push it away. And so much energy goes into this wobbling like this. Or even the neutral, you know, that we can't be with that. And we don't know how to be with that. a subtlety of neutral, calm, quiet. So each of them is worthy of investigation and exploration. And you know, the things that I'll say here are kind of, in some ways, like hypothesis for you to investigate in your own experience, if this is true. So for example, with the sound of the door opening, someone coming into the hall, it could just be a sound. It comes, it goes, it arises, it passes away. So for example, there's also sounds right now. Besides my voice, there might be sound of wind, sound of traffic. Sometimes you might hear a bird or something like that. So the sound itself is in some ways just living out its energetic life of arising and passing away. We're perceiving it to be unpleasant and then having a reaction against it. But there's nothing actually inherent in that sound that needs to trouble us. So similarly with body sensations, it's possible that you have an unpleasant body sensation, often called pain. And usually we instantly want to move or shift or do something to get rid of it. So you can just investigate and see if this is true. Is it possible to actually be with an unpleasant sensation just as it is, separate from that reactivity of the mind? So checking that out and just looking into that, seeing if we can be with that a little bit more, brings a lot of freedom, because there's the experience itself, and then it could just be as it is. And then that also can help us to alleviate a lot of suffering that comes in the mind. So with the sound that we think shouldn't be there, like the door opens, door closes, someone comes in, and then it's just a sound, the sound is already gone, but we experience it as unpleasant, primarily because of our idea about how it should be. And then the mind will start proliferating. Like, I don't like this open schedule. We should start and stop at the same time. I don't know why that person's so noisy. Haven't they settled down already? We should not allow people to wear noisy clothing here. It's a meditation center, you know. So the mind can keep going, making up stories of annoyance long after the actual sound has come and gone. But if we could tune in and notice this quality, this feeling tone quality of unpleasantness, it's possible to just recognize it as a sound or just recognize it as unpleasant. And then it can just come and just go. So body sensations also could be an unpleasant sensation. It's possible to know this with balance. You still wouldn't give it as a gift to someone for the holidays. You know it's unpleasant, but there's a way in which when the reactivity is gone, it's much more bearable. It's possible to actually just know it for what it is, but not have to change, not have to respond to it. Now, these habitual responses are in some ways like the best strategy of the unenlightened mind for how to deal with what it's encountering in the world. So I mentioned before the way in which our usual strategy for well-being, for happiness, is to try to line up as many pleasant experiences as possible, right? Like I want to get the climate like I like it. I want to get the food like I like it. I want to get my appearance like I like it. I want to get the political system like I like it. Right. So the unawakened mind thinks pleasant is good, unpleasant is bad. So let's arrange all for to be pleasant, and let's push away all that's unpleasant. So then, yeah, something pleasant comes up, and the mind grasps at it, wants to keep it there. And the difficult thing is that you can't keep anything. Like, everything fades. everything in our experience comes and goes. So everything has this quality of impermanence in the experiential world. So it's like a losing battle, you know, this attempting to hold on to what's pleasant. And in fact, it actually will disrupt the just experiencing the pleasant, because overly on it is this leaning of the mind towards it, right? This tension, unnecessary tension comes like that. And then likewise, with the unawakened mind, when something unpleasant happens, it could just be as it is, and it too is impermanent, but the poor unawakened mind doesn't know what to do with it, so thinks like, oh, I know, I'll hate it. That's what I'll do. Right? Unpleasant experience happens, I'm going to hate it, push it away. It doesn't help at all, right? It doesn't help at all. It doesn't make the thing go away. It doesn't make it last less long, anything like that. So you can just notice as you go through whether you have this experience of this leaning of the mind, this pushing, this pulling, kind of grabbing after or pushing away that happens. And if so, you could investigate, is there any quality that's there of pleasant or unpleasant or even the neutral there? What's the quality of this feeling tone of this moment? You might notice this in line for the food sometimes. You're lined up and maybe you've gotten hungry and smell of the food and people are moving through mindfully putting soup on their plate. And you can feel, even though you're looking like you're very steady and mindful, part of you is like really leaning forward. There's a pleasant smell and it's like, ugh, like, come on, serve faster. Like, want it to be my turn. So notice this, notice the tendency of mind like this, and notice that it's painful. Yeah. And notice how it doesn't make the line move any faster either. So I travel a fair amount, and I remember after one trip that I took, it was a long trip, like 14-hour airplane trip, and I got back to the San Francisco airport, and then everyone was waiting for their baggage to come out in the baggage turnstile, you know. And the conveyor belt started to go, but the suitcases hadn't started to come down the chute yet, you know. And then maybe one or two started to come, and then slowly the whole crowd started to lean towards the baggage claim. Like first taking a step forward, and then more, and then leaning, and then as each person leaned, the person behind them couldn't see, so then they also have to lean more and lean more until the whole crowd is like converging on the baggage claim, you know. And I noticed suddenly like, oh, I'm also getting caught up in this, and it's not actually making the bag come out any faster, you know. It's like just this physical tension and mental tension that's there. So in this case, I redirected attention somewhere else, actually to this, they had these dogs that were smelling for drugs around. So I took a look at the dog, who was wearing a uniform, a beagle, like drug-sniffing dog uniform. And he was very cute and very serious about his job, you know. So then it kind of pulled me out of that, like, crowd mentality leaning like that. Say we don't notice, you know, the pain of these patternings, but they're happening all the time, in little ways, in big ways. In this story, it was actually a physical leaning, you know, so it was more obvious, but there's ways in which it happens to us all the time, like this movement towards, this movement away from, this tension that comes in the mind as we experience the world. And oftentimes we don't even know anything different. You know, we don't know anything different than how to be with that. So practice gives us a chance to reveal the ways in which our reactions to life, our reactions to experience are actually different than the experience itself. And there can be some freedom from discovering this. You know, we don't have to be at the mercy of this habitual reactivity. Now, of course, just hearing about this intellectually is not going to solve the problem. but maybe it will help to reveal it in some ways, to reveal this as an area for investigation as you go about your time here. And one of the beautiful aspects of being here in retreat is that you have the time and the space to observe this kind of thing, you know, in ways in which if you're really busy in your life, you know, getting things done or something, we don't always apply this kind of lens to seeing. But once we start to pick up this pattern, there's a way in which we can perceive this pattern in many different places. So we can then start to perceive it in our regular life. You can notice that. And this pulling towards, this pushing away, in some ways it's like a, it's like something has passed in front of the lens of the awareness, you know. There's just a steady changing of experience, and then there's something that like gets caught there. We get snagged on the unpleasant, we get snagged on the pleasant. And then we get kind of duped by these patternings. It's like, oh, this is what I should do. This is the only thing to do, is to grasp after, to push away. So one way of describing this kind of stuff that arises and clouds the mind is sometimes it's called defilement, which is kind of a strong word in English, but it's something that like covers the mind and colors it like that. And I like this title of Sayadaw Utejaniya's book. Is, I think it is, Don't Look Down on the Defilements, for They Will Laugh at You. So it means like, it's very humbling to see how often that this leaning, this grasping, this pushing away can show up in our minds. And you don't need to pretend like you're perfect and it doesn't come up for you. In fact, if you do, then they will be laughing even harder. Because until the point as we're fully awakened, like Arhant, fully enlightened, then we're going to have some of this to greater or lesser extent in the mind, like a lot of the time. So if you're noticing it, it's not like a mistake or like you're a bad person or anything like that. It's actually that you have started to catch on to their game, in fact. So it's good to see them. It's good to notice them. You can actually take joy when you notice them. Because when you don't notice them, then they're driving you. You know, then that defilement is in the driver's seat. That greed, that aversion, right? So only when you notice it do you have the possibility of some space from that, you know, disrupting the habit in some way. And then the neutral is a whole other area of worthwhile attention. So this is, how do we handle when something is neither very pleasant or not very unpleasant? So you could consider, like, can we expand our ability to be with things that are just okay? You know, that are not fabulously exciting and pleasant or terribly tragic and unpleasant. And for most of us, yeah, probably 90% of our life is like that, kind of neutral stuff. Like relatively neutral conversations, neutral activities. Yeah, nothing really that special. So if we're only able to pay attention when things are incredibly pleasant and exciting, or incredibly difficult, then we miss this whole huge amount of life that goes on. So also opportunity on retreat is to, in some ways, like, expand the ability to be with more subtle sensations, more subtle level of experience, including that which we might call neutral. And then sometimes as we tune into that, it also reveals itself to be actually not that neutral, slightly pleasant, slightly unpleasant. Yeah, many different things can be revealed as we get curious and take a look at the unfolding of experience. So you don't need to go looking too hard for these, but if it's interesting to you, you could check it out. And the meal is also a good time to see pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, because we often have strong feelings like this in the taste arena or in the arena of smell. So you could notice even as you're eating, like, oh, when is there a pleasant experience? When is there an unpleasant experience? When is there a neutral experience? And how is the mind reacting to that? See if you can notice the difference between those. So there's a way in which this teaching about the Vedana, the feeling tone, is like there's been this like secret code underneath of life experience that we haven't seen, you know. We think it's just going along and independent, but actually there's this kind of principle going on, like pleasant grasping, unpleasant push away, right? That we might not have seen before. But you don't have to believe me because I say it. You could check it out and see if it's true for you, if it's useful to see. It's true of all the Dhamma. There's a quality called ehipasiko. The come and see-ness, you could say, of the Dhamma. Come check it out yourself. So we can just sit together for a little bit and see what there is to see.